Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, April 3rd, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Yes, it's April 3rd. Today it's Lisa's birthday. Everybody out there, send her an email.
No.
Wish her a happy birthday. We were looking forward to this. We're going to go out tonight. And, you know, over the weekend, Lisa, some fantastic things were happening, weren't they?
It's kind of been an unbelievable weekend, whirlwind weekend.
Right. On Friday night, we appeared on Lionel's show on WOR Radio out of New York City. This is carried in about 380 different cities. We were on for 3 hours talking primarily about 9/11 on trial, but also to a lesser degree, Phantom Flight 93, plus we're speaking about the Pentagon, mm-hmm. and literally everything that has to do with 9/11, and the feedback was phenomenal. I guess the phone lines were lit up like two minutes into the show and stayed that way for the whole course of the three-hour interview, and the reaction was so good that Lionel invited us back on again Saturday afternoon.
Well, there's so much to cover. Even 3 hours on a Friday night isn't enough to get into it all. Plus, with the commercials, it kind of shortens mm-hmm. the time span for the discussion. So, three more hours we did on Saturday.
Yeah, and you can get a bigger perspective on this if you go to the Wing TV homepage and take a look at that. Also, we have to thank Vinny Sammartino,
yes.
who really set this whole interview up. And then he appeared for a little while Friday, and then for about 2 hours on Saturday, mm-hmm. the first 2 hours of the show, and especially we have to thank Lionel, because as we told him towards the end of the Saturday show, we said, this is what talk radio is supposed to be. It's provocative, fast-paced, and ballsy.
It was electric.
Yeah, it was electric, and what he's doing is what most people in the mainstream media still mm-hmm. are afraid to do. And that's talk about the truth about 9/11. And you know, Lisa, he wasn't condescending or he wasn't mocking or he wasn't marginalizing this information.
He was very fair.
Yeah, he took it seriously. And I can't even imagine how many people we reached during these two broadcasts. And when you look at Charlie Sheen's appearance on CNN, when you look at the Scholars for 9/11 Truth, how many people were hitting on their sites, and you look at these two broadcasts on one of the oldest, most respected radio stations mm-hmm. in the country.
Right.
Lisa, 9/11 Truth is making it into the mainstream in a big, big way.
Like I said, it's the best birthday gift I could ever hope to have. That these two shows got out to so many different mm-hmm. people. It's better than anything else that I could have been given for my birthday.
Yeah, and I would imagine there's a lot of people tuning in now for the very first time to Wing TV. So this is Lisa Giuliani. I'm Victor Thorne. This is a face that's made for radio. You're going to see it on this show, though. But we talk about a lot of different things on this show. Not mm-hmm. only 9/11, we talk about politics and sociology. Tomorrow we're going to talk about history with our guests. So keep tuning in. And when people ask me, they say, what do you talk about on your show? I say, well, mostly we talk about things that the mainstream media isn't talking about. So
it's still kind of mind-bending that this type of discussion occurred on a mainstream radio venue.
It really is. And
after so many years of stonewalling and just ignoring this information, now it's really breaking through out of the box. And it's been described as a subterranean culture, subculture. And the whole point is we don't want it to be a subculture. We want to break into the mainstream public consciousness, and it's doing that now.
Exactly. And as we say in this article on the Wing TV homepage, you'll see Lionel's picture right there, is we've been trying for 4.5 years to reach mainstream America, mainstream planet Earth, really, with this information,
right.
And the doors are now finally being opened. And I can say, without fearing the accuracy of this, is we're now closer to having the truth out about 9/11 than we've ever been before.
And you know what was really great about being on Lionel's show? There were callers calling in who were pilots, flight attendants, 9/11 victim family members. And it was really great. All these different groups of people that we've been trying to reach for so long with this information.
And they were agreeing with our analysis. On the two shows, I'd say there were probably three calls each show where somebody called in and said, oh, no, no, you're full of it, this isn't true, and blah, blah, blah. And to show really how off base these calls were. First of all, we dealt with them very rapidly. I mean, we know this stuff so well that it wasn't hard to correct the inaccuracies of their statements. But one guy called from Florida, and we were talking about the Pentagon. And we were asking him about how impossible it would have been for Hani Hanjour to do these maneuvers, go from 7,000 feet to the ground, do a 270-degree bank turn, all within like 2.5 minutes. And we said, well, could you do something like this?
Yes, what's the level of difficulty?
Yeah, and he said that he could fly a plane 2 feet off the ground at 400 miles an hour and not wreck the plane. So, I mean, that just shows you right there, without the engines or anything hitting the ground.
Then Lionel said, I don't want to fly with that guy.
Exactly, I don't either. Another guy called in and said he has a diner right across from WTC7, and he said that this building was engulfed in flames for like 7 hours. It was red hot. The building was totally consumed. So he said, well, we're looking at a site right now, WTC7.net. There's pictures throughout the day of this building.
And he said it burned all day.
Yeah, burned all day long. And so
we'd like to see pictures and video footage of that, yeah, burning all day.
So we refuted that. But by and large, 90% of the callers were completely in tune with this material, and they weren't surprised by it.
And we do thank those of you out there who do listen and watch Wing TV for calling in and expressing your views and putting your thoughts on the table, because you know what's going on. And it's up to you to help us to clue in the rest of America.
Right.
So,
and also we have the archives for both of these shows right on the Wing TV homepage. Go to the center column all the way to the bottom, and you'll see it says something like Lionel WOR Radio. And as the first show and the second show, you can listen to those. And also, there's a link in this article to Lionel's site. Not only should you tune into what he's doing on his show, send him an email.
Yeah.
And thank him. And say, you know what? You didn't have to do this, but you did. You went above and beyond.
You know what? He has a genuine interest in this information. And it's so wonderful to see it. It's just the way it happens with everybody else. Once you get clued into it, it just sucks you in. It draws you in, and it's fascinating. It's totally absorbing.
Yeah. Now, the big question facing all of us is, since we've come so far, Charlie Sheen on CNN, the CNN poll, 85% believe what he was saying. The Scholars for 9/11 Truth, WOR Radio on the Lionel Show. We're breaking into mainstream America. Now, the big question is, what are we going to do? And regrettably, Lisa, as we mentioned last week, there's still a plethora of alternative media sites that aren't doing anything to try to organize people.
Right, and we still are very intent on going to Ground Zero.
Absolutely.
On 9/11. And that was one of the great things about being on Lionel's show, too. We got to speak directly to New Yorkers, and we urged them to come out there and stand with us and let this government know that we know they lied, and we want the whole world to know that they have lied.
Yeah, and I was trying to think today how to put this all into perspective. Well, the last two nights, we watched Mel Gibson's Braveheart. If you haven't seen this movie, check it out. And here's really what it was. As Mel Gibson was playing a character named William Wallace, and what they wanted to do was free Scotland from English rule. Well, they started getting all of the everyday people together, and they were battling the English, and they were beating the English. But then at one point, Mel Gibson had to meet with the lords of Scotland. These were the ones with, you know, the kings and the princes and the landowner, the noblemen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling them, you know what? If you join with us, with the everyday people, we can once and for all beat England, and we can get our freedom.
And, of course, there were some parallels to modern-day times, too, where some of their people were bought out and paid off to side with the enemy.
Well, the parallel is very clear. The English in this movie would represent the New World Order or the government or the mainstream media, those in control, okay? The Lords now represent those figures in the alternative media that don't seem to have any fight in them. These Lords were saying, oh, well, we got to negotiate, or maybe we can sign some kind of contract. And Mel Gibson saying, you know what happens every time the Scots sign a contract? The English renege on us, they come in, they burn our houses down, and we're even further enslaved than we were before. And so there's even one crucial scene where I guess his name was Robert de Bruce. Uh-huh. Remember him? And he gave Mel Gibson his word that the Lords would side with them and fight the English. Well, when push came to shove, the Lords turned their back and ran away.
They did what was in their own best interest,
right,
or what they perceived to be their own best self-interest, instead of working toward the common good.
Right. And what happened was that the Scots lost the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, we find out then, that the King of England, this guy named Longshanks, went behind the scenes to some of these Lords.
And paid them off.
And paid them off. Said, well, we'll give you a little bit more of a chunk of land, or you can sign this contract, or blah, blah, blah. And so here's what it boils down to. Lisa and myself, we're the everyday people,
right,
that are out there fighting. You people watching this show are the everyday people that are fighting every day. You're the ones that are going to come out to ground zero. You're the ones that go to the protests. You're the ones like Patriot Jim Kujawa that's out there every single weekend,
right,
in the trenches fighting. Now, who are the Lords?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to mention any names in the alternative media. But who are the ones that have been in this business? And I call it a business, Lisa, because that's what they see it as.
Well, that's what they've
business.
Made it into.
That's what they've made it into. And I'll tell you what. When you come to looking at the business, they're very organized.
Right.
Boy, they have that thing running like a well-oiled machine.
It is a machine.
But when you tell them or ask them, hey, we need your help to get organized.
Out here in the trenches.
In the trenches with the everyday people.
Right.
You don't hear a peep from them. And, you know, I watched or read something the other day where it says, every war is won not on the battlefield, but in the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, and I see this, Lisa, as a war. It's us.
Oh, it very much is a war.
Against the people who committed 9/11. The ones who planned, coordinated, and executed it. It is a war. Us against them.
Right.
And if we're going to beat them, we have to organize and we have to prepare. And when we ask these people, help us. And even if you can't make it to ground zero, on the morning of 9/11.
There's something you can do.
Put the word out.
Right.
Put a link on your website. Talk about it on your radio show. So these people that refuse to do this, and some of them, Lisa, have been in business for 10 or 12 years now. What have they been doing for the past decade or the past dozen years? What have they been doing
other than making money?
We
know what they've been talking about, but we don't know exactly what it is they're doing.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good point you bring up, because when Lionel had us on his show that night, he said he wanted us on because we didn't come out there and start saying, well, you know, this is related to the Council on Foreign Relations, and then you have the Bilderbergers, and then you go to the Trilateral Commission, and in 1947, there, you know.
What we discussed was facts. Not the who and not the why.
Yeah. And see, Lionel was a lawyer before he became a talk show host. He used to host a show on Court TV. And he told us, he said, this book, 9/11 on Trial, should be included in law schools because it just systematically destroys the government's official version of events.
Yeah, he really liked the direct examination that is in this book. He said it's beautiful.
Yeah. So we didn't talk on that show all this wild-eyed conspiracy theory, even though we know all about this. We've written about it in the New World Order Exposed, New World Order Illusion. If you want to reach people and tell them the truth about 9/11, you have to stick to the facts.
Right.
And that's what the professors did very well when they were on George Norrie's show that night. But others, when they get on there, they want to ramble. They want to talk a million miles an hour. They want to go off in 50 zillion different directions.
Just to get to the heart of the matter, the meat of the matter,
and
stop wandering off on tangential side roads.
Yeah, and if you're a person that watches nothing but CNN or Fox News, but you have a little bit of curiosity about 9/11, if somebody's rambling 50 miles an hour going off in 50 different directions, you know what happens?
Well, it makes it hard to follow their train of thought.
Well, their eyes glaze over, and then they say, well, this is one of them crackpot, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists.
And most of you know out there that there's a million side roads we could wander off on when we talk about this stuff, because the deeper the hole gets, the deeper you dig, the deeper the hole gets.
Yeah.
So, but it's counterproductive. When you're trying to communicate information to people, you can't get into the whole voluminous mess.
Yeah, because it's too much overload for people.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke Friday and Saturday night, 6 hours straight.
It was exhausting.
About
the
math, the science, the physics of 9/11. There was no conjecture, no opinion, no conspiracy theory. Facts, facts, facts. It was as if we were in a court of law and people dug it. Everyone was calling in saying, thank you for finally getting this out there.
We don't tell anybody to just believe what we say.
Right.
We're asking people, take a closer look at the events of 9/11. Take a closer look at the facts. Don't base your belief upon perception. Base it upon the facts, upon the truth.
Yeah.
And you may come to a very different conclusion as to what happened that day.
Yeah, and we have to bring up a troubling point. There was someone that tuned into this show. I believe it was Friday night. They called up one of the individuals in one of the prominent 9/11 movements in New York City. Use your imagination, okay? And they said, you got to turn on WOR right now. Thorne and Giuliani are on listening. They're on right now. They're just blowing 9/11 out of the water. You got to tune this in. Spread the word.
And you wouldn't believe the response.
And he immediately went into a tirade about how somehow we contacted or blamed Elliot Spitzer about murdering a college student, and how Thorne and Giuliani are so horrible, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? It finally, this guy said he knew this individual for years, and he says, I have to conclude now, this guy doesn't want 9/11 truth. He's a gatekeeper. And they're not...
First of all, what's he even talking about?
Yeah, first of all, we've never even spoken to Elliot Spitzer. We've never written about Elliot Spitzer, and on. But it's like we've been telling you now for years. These people aren't trying to spread the truth about 9/11. They're trying to prevent it. And you know what, Lisa? The same person, when I sent the book, 9/11 on Trial, to him, and I said, will you help us get the word out about this? And he said, oh, no, this book's no good because the footnotes aren't good enough. Well, you know what? Lionel, who's a lawyer, mentioned 5 or 6 different times how great the sourcing is in this book. But the person from 911truth.org wouldn't get this out, and they needed some kind of excuse. And so it was so measly-minded that they said, oh, well, the footnotes aren't good enough. But a lawyer was going ape wild about how great the book is and the sourcing. Folks,
as time has gone on, we're seeing who really wants to get the truth out and who really doesn't.
Yeah.
And so this was just another glaring example.
Right.
And you know what? We're just thrilled that we had the opportunity, that the door opened a crack enough for us to be able to tell people about the controlled demolition and let them examine this information for themselves, let them absorb it and digest it, and think about it, because that's all we've wanted to do from the very beginning.
Expose
people to the information. Give it the liberty of appearing.
Yeah, and what you have to ask yourself now is, in the context of this Braveheart movie, who are you going to side with? Are you going to side with the English, who represent the New World Order, the controllers, the people behind 9/11? Or are you going to side with the Lords, the ones who betrayed the everyday people, the ones who, when push came to shove, when they were on the battlefield in the heat of war, when they're the ones who turned coat, turned their backs, and ran from the battlefield? Or are you going to side with Mel Gibson and the everyday people, the ones that are down there fighting day in and day out, the ones that are getting a little bloodied, a little beat up, a little scarred.
You know,
who are you going to side with, Lisa?
Well, I know who I'm going to side with, the everyday people.
That's right.
At the end of the movie, Mel Gibson, of course, gets murdered. And everybody's pretty much seen this movie, I think, by now. But he gets murdered because he won't give in and plead for mercy and take back the things that he said. Because freedom was the most important thing to him. And he was a man of integrity, this character, William Wallace.
Well, he actually didn't get murdered. He got executed.
Yeah.
He got beheaded.
What's the difference?
Well, executed. I think it's a little more accurate term. But he got his head chopped off, and then he got both his legs and both his arms chopped off, and they took him to each...
To the four corners of England. Yeah.
And but what they had is they had his head on the chopping block, and they said, just beg for mercy. That's all you have to do. And finally, he knows that he's going to say something. So the executioner says, silence! He's going to say something. And instead of begging for mercy, he screamed out what?
Freedom.
Freedom! Is what he screamed out. And folks, if you haven't seen this movie, go out and rent it tonight. If you have seen it, go rent it again and watch it. Because what we need are people like Joan of Arc. People like Jesus, people like William Wallace, people like John the Baptist, people that are willing to fight until the end.
We need people with strength inside of them.
Yeah. And we don't need the lords, the ones that are making a business out of 9/11, the ones that have a nice, well-oiled machine, but when we ask for help, they turn their back, and all they want to do is just keep a thumb on their little corner of their market or what it is.
Remember what we said quite a while back. We said, this truth is not going to be stopped from advancing forward. We are going to get this truth out. No one's going to keep the door shut. If the door is locked, we're going to kick it down.
That's right. And you know what? We don't even give a damn about the lords anymore. Because there's so many people right now, that's you, everyday people, that I know are going to be at ground zero on the morning and afternoon of 9/11, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands of people there, because we've reached critical mass now. We've reached a turning point, and we're sick and tired of all the lies that have been spewed at us for the last 5-6 years.
We're counting on all of you.
Yeah. And you're the ones we're doing this for. You're the everyday people. You're the ones that stood beside Mel Gibson on the battlefield, and you're the ones standing alongside every other person that wants 9/11 truth.
We're not going to let 9/11 go down in history like the JFK assassination as one big mountain of lies.
Right. And, you know, people ask us every once in a while, why do you still care about 9/11? It's been 4.5 years. And as I said on Lionel's show, I said, because I'm still enraged. And if we weren't doing this TV show, you'd be hearing a few other words come out of my mouth.
Because the truth matters.
Yeah.
It still matters. 9/11 matters.
Yeah.
Because 9/11 led to all this other bogus crap that we see going on today. All this perpetual, unending war. The reordering of the Middle East. And the passage of dangerous, unconstitutional legislation like the Patriot Act.
Yeah. We're as pissed off today as we were 4.5 years ago. And maybe even more so. So anyway, everybody that's tuning in for the first time, thanks. Come back again tomorrow and every day following it, because this is where the truth is originating for. For all our longtime viewers and listeners, we can't thank you enough.
For hanging with us.
Because you're the ones that are spreading the word, and you're the ones that the burden of saving America is on your shoulders. So thank all of you very much.
We're an army.
That's right, we are. And we're ready for war. We're going to be back with J. Douglas Kenyon tomorrow. We're going to talk about forbidden history. Until then, keep your eyes open. Once again, thanks to Vinny Sammartino, to Lionel.
To Michael Langston for recording
it
for us.
That's right. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.